Good morning. Welcome to our service on this beautiful Sunday morning. Let's begin our time together with singing.
Let's sing Glory to God on High. If you'd like to turn to it, it's 71. Otherwise, you can sing it from memory. Number 71.
Glory to God.
Christian greetings to each one this morning. As I was contemplating this service, my thoughts were drawn to probably one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. And I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to the fourth chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I think it's helpful for me from time to time to try to sort of, well, maybe not from time to time, maybe always when we come to the scripture, to try to figure out what the main point is that the writer is trying to convey or communicate. And I would like to propose for your consideration that the main point of Ephesians 4, the part that we're reading this morning, or the main goal, could possibly be described as being found in verse 13. We'd like to read verse 4 on through 16. But as it, there's probably more than one right way to read some of these things, but as I read this passage, it seems to me that the verses preceding verse 13 are sort of pointing forward toward, and possibly the verses immediately following further elaborating on that. But I might just make a couple of comments about verse 13 before I read these verses. I would like to propose that God's goal, and possibly Christ's goal, I'm not sure if it's helpful to separate the two in this context, is that we corporately, as the body of Christ, demonstrate the reality of Christ, demonstrate the purpose of Christ to the watching world around us. And we understand, because of our strengths and weakness, because of our several abilities, that as a body, we are able to do that in a more full measure than any of us can by ourselves. And I, as I ponder that, I am struck with the blessing that it is to be part of the body of Christ and to be part of a local body where I can benefit from what God wants to do in my life. I can benefit as I understand how he wants to use the way that he's gifted my brother and my sister for my good. So let's read, beginning at verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he gave captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And these parenthetical verses, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's as far as we'll read. Now, if we understand that our mission in life is to demonstrate the reality of Christ, How does that happen? And I think we glean some important clues and some important maybe I should say directives from this passage. First of all, we demonstrate the reality of Christ by service. And God has provided for us to serve. He doesn't just ask us to serve, but he's given us a framework within which we can serve. He's given us a support cast, if you will. After all, it says he gave some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to what end? For the perfecting, for the completion of the saints for the work of ministry. To complete the brothers in a way that equips them to serve. And that's wonderful. God has thought enough of that, that he's given the body gifts to equip the saints to serve. And when that happens, of course, we understand that the body is built up or edified. Another way that we demonstrate or we live in the reality, I'm not sure how to say all this, but we demonstrate the reality of Christ is by enjoying a stability that comes from belonging to Christ's body. You notice how verse 13 is followed immediately by verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, facilitating maturity and stability. Henceforth, no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Have you ever considered that one of our principal inoculations or safeguards from false doctrine, if you will, is found in benefiting from the perspective of the brothers? You see, he gave some apostles and what's the list again here? And I don't think, by the way, that it's necessarily an exhaustive list. But it mentions apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. And there are probably others. But you see, one of the great blessings of belonging to a body is to benefit from what God has given you. And that's great. That's wonderful. Maybe another way of saying it is when I isolate myself from my brother, then I don't benefit from what God wants me to understand through my brother. See, I'm not sure that I can go to a chapter and verse and say, thus saith the Lord. But I don't think it's inconsistent with Scripture. And I really have come to sort of understand, and it's a philosophy for me, and you can examine it and see what you think. But that God hasn't given me the whole picture. Now, he's given me all that I need. But part of his design for you and I is to live in brotherhood. And so he chooses to complete my picture through you, through my brothers. And it's not that we have, I don't want to say that in any way that makes it seem like we don't have all we need. But I believe where God has placed us in brotherhood, that we lack it's dangerous to cut ourselves off from what God has given my brother for my good, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We demonstrate Christ's reality also when we live in love, and unity is mentioned here. But verse 15 talks about speaking the truth in love. And so as we as we understand that God has given each of us something, the brotherhood then is complete when we bring that something. But speaking the truth in love. Recently, actually it was last Friday night, we had an art congregation had what we called a literary evening. And so there was a number of different readings and some inspirational, some probably wouldn't qualify for that, but it was a worthwhile evening. But our daughter Brianna did a little bit of a report on Amy Carmichael. And she shared some quotes from Amy Carmichael, and one that was probably about as the one that I, there's two of them that were outstanding, but one of them I would like to mention right now. Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary to India, she said, if I am afraid, and this is, verse 15 talks about speaking the truth in love, okay? Let's not consider truth and love as being exclusive, mutually exclusive. They can go together, okay? But Amy said, if I am afraid to speak the truth, lest I lose affection, or lest the one concerned should say, you do not understand, or because I fear to lose my reputation for kindness, if I put my own good name before the other's highest good, then I know nothing of Calvary love. And that's a mouthful. Maybe it struck, maybe it was so impressive to me, is because that's something that I find difficult. I'd like to read that again, with the idea of speaking the truth in love. It says, if I'm afraid to speak the truth, lest I lose affection, or lest the one concerned should say, you do not understand, or because I fear to lose my reputation for kindness, if I put my own good name before the other's highest good, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Well, I'd like to close by reading again verse 13. But let's consider that Christ has called us to demonstrate the reality of Him wherever He has. And may I just add yet that I do believe, based on what we read also, I was going to mention this earlier, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I believe it's wise for us to consider that wherever Christ calls, He enables. Wherever God has called us, He will provide all that we need there. And so, I'm not a member of this congregation currently, but I believe that where, we belong to, it's a pretty small church, but I still believe that the Lord has put everything there that His brothers that He's called to be there need to experience completion. And I believe the same for Center. And I believe the same for others of you who have wherever your home congregation is. Where God calls, He provides. Okay? But as we've lived the reality of Christ, wherever He's called us, let's remember that we can demonstrate that by loving each other. And in 1 Corinthians 12, another chapter that talks about spiritual gifts, the last verse says, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And he launches into the love chapter. And Paul says, all these things that if I have all these gifts, and give to the poor and prophesy and all that, but I don't have love, it isn't worth anything. Isn't worth anything. I'd like to read verse 13 in closing. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It is such a blessing and a privilege to be called to be part of a body where we can experience completion in our imperfect humanity. Completion. Until the day when all things will be made perfect. Kneel with me in prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, thank you for your provision in Christ to experience life now, to experience completion now, to experience your blessing. Thank you for the blessing of brothers. Thank you for the fact that you have given gifts to the brothers to benefit your body. We love you, Father. We pray that you would bless this service, that we would all be strengthened and edified, that your body would be built up, and that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name.